Thank you very much. I've probably got to go through these very briefly to just because of the fact that the content is so much that I can't do this in 15 minutes. So just bear with me. So today we like to look at it, the fact that has mortality been lowered in our own region? And if so, have we observed racial disparities? And to be able to do this here, the best way to look at the data is to find out what have been the rates or the proportions in other states compared to ours, and then to look at our own data as to see whether there are racial disparities. I've got nothing to declare here. Scientific neutrality. One of the stuff that strikes one is that race becomes an issue, but what really is race? What does race stand for? Is it a surrogate to something that we're trying to see? So our job is to disentangle race. Let's remove race from the equation of mortality when it comes to the pediatric environment. So after controlling for all these factors here, socioeconomic, controlling for access, if racial disparity still retains or remains, what else could explain that? Are there biologic determinants to the racial disparities? So that becomes very interesting unless we are able to remove the variability in mortality. So an objective of the presentations I go through this year, however, what we are presenting here are things that have been known in the past, so I'm not going to go into the details of the background. You can look that up yourself. But I'd like to go into the current study to see what are our findings, what do they mean to us, and what do we do from here. Epidemiologic research certainly has been dealing with race and ethnicity for a long time. But what is it new that we are bringing to the table, the novelty? The novelty here is to say, are there biologic determinants of racial and ethnic variability when it comes to outcomes? And those findings got to be factual, implying that hopefully there are lots of epidemiologists in this room this evening. If they're factual, what do we mean by that? Have we been able to disentangle confounding? If we've done so, what role would biases play? Information bias, misclassification with respect to the findings. Have we been able to quantify the random error in the findings here? Are they effect measure modifiers? And one last thing, the p-value is not the measure of evidence. It reflects the size of a study, which is not meaningful to clinical medicine and public health. Is completely useless. Evidence is based on effect size and the measure of association. Health disparities epidemiology, is this a new concept? I would argue that it's not a new concept. We've been doing this. But the fact that we are bringing epidemiology to health disparities does not imply novelty. It simply strengthens the methodology upon which we should understand why populations vary when it comes to health outcomes. So child mortality over the past years, in the decades or in the annals of the American public health, we've constantly seen that disparities occur when it comes to childhood mortality. And we've also seen reduction with these disparities, which had been due to our ability collectively as healthcare system to address pneumonia, cancer, influenza, and congenital abnormalities. Despite this, there are still variability driven by socioeconomic status, driven by gender as well, and it becomes our responsibility as a public health association or organization to address those factors that tend to drive these variants. Looking at the state, the U.S. as a whole, and looking at the state of Delaware, we observe variability, as you guys could read there. Unfortunately, I do not have a pointer with me to point you to the red in the state, which is 54.7 per every 100,000 of kids. And when you look at the state of Delaware, it is 59.5 per every 100,000. We are seeing already variability. This variability may not be of clinical relevance, but it still points us to the fact that we need to understand what tends to increase pediatric mortality in the state of Delaware compared to the U.S. And mortality continues to occur and varies by sex, it varies by race and ethnicity. We all know this, but what is it that we don't know? How do we explain this variability? Overall, African American infants are 3 times as likely to die compared to white kids. What tends to drive this variability? Is it congenital uterine environment events? Is it the failure to thrive? Is it maternal irresponsibility such as drinking and alcohol consumption? We ought to be able to interpret this variability by looking at these risk variables. So for the purpose of study here, we applied what is called proportionate morbidity, a very old epidemiologic concept, to look at the proportion of kids that died, comparing race and ethnicity. And again, such studies cannot be properly done unless we standardize variables. We've got to measure apples and apples, and orange and oranges. Otherwise, the comparison of proportion is meaningless. So an example of a study that has been done to show the role played by socioeconomic status in hospital pediatric mortality. Clearly, if you can look at the conclusion, socioeconomic status inversely drives the mortality, implying that the wealthier the kids, the parents, the less likely it is that the children are to die. Another study that has been done looked at insurance, and given the payer status, the children with commercial insurance were less likely to die. Is insurance a surrogate? What role does it play when it comes to mortality? If it plays a role, does it translate to access? Does it translate to timely admission? There's lots of unanswerable questions when it comes to insurance role. However, it does point to one thing. Early access prolongs survival and decreases mortality. So our aim was to look at the prevalence of PM, which is pediatric mortality. We first look at the in-hospital, then we look at the overall mortality. Now, this process here may allow us to account for why are the variability. So our next move then was to look at variables that we can adjust for control for in the observed crude differences to see whether we can actually explain this here. With respect to methodology, we encourage the use of stratified analysis before you build your regression model. The reason being that regressions hide information from you, you lose your data, you are unable to explain. On that context, we applied chi-square analysis to look at the variability. We then move on to look at if variabilities occur here, if we control them, because of the fact that there's so many variables, we would not use stratified analysis. So we had to look at these variables individually to see if they serve as confounding, how do we control for them? And that leads to the creation of the explanatory model. Results. As you would see here, in-hospital mortality for us was 0.49. And when you look at the national average of 0.8 to 1.1, as indicated, a slight reduction. So we had lower regional hospital mortality. We use what is called single sample test to see whether or not median test to see whether or not our 0.49 was stable, and we confirmed by the 95% point confidence interval that our point estimate were quite stable. And in spite of this year, we wanted to see whether or not in-hospital mortality did vary by race and ethnicity. We did observe that. African Americans had 0.6, some other race 0.5, and white 0.4, Asian 0.40, implying a reduction, lower mortality among Asians and whites relative to blacks and some other race. You might ask me, what does some other race mean? I'd like to talk about this some other time, not today. Blacks was at slightly higher mortality compared to other racial groups, as you would see here, as well as some other race that tends to bear the burden of mortality. The median household income drove mortality, and we observed what is called a dose response. The wealthier the kids, the less likely they were to die. And in the state of Delaware, around the region where my hospital is located, we realized that the Asians have the highest income. And that being, and again, they had the lowest mortality, surprisingly. And further, in hospital mortality, in terms of proportionate mortality, which is a very old epidemiologic concept, yeah, respiratory disease was the leading cause, followed by cardiovascular. And within the respiratory, we had acute respiratory failure, acute and chronic respiratory failure. Then within cardiovascular, we had cardiac arrest, followed by ventricular septal defect. And alongside, we had gastrointestinal disorders accounting for mainly necrotizing enterocolitis in newborn. Then malignancy also played a significant role. I've received a signal here that I'm running out of my time, so I'm going to jump you guys right into the graphs that we can visualize, or the tables. And in this table here, you could see the distribution of viral status being alive and dead. And you'll see here that African Americans were 2.5. Relative to some other race, 3.5%. And we had no sex differences when it came to mortality. The SOI stands for severity of illness. As you would see here, African Americans at 8.0, with under the most severe illness at the point of admission and at the point of discharge, and followed by some other race. So those are the two subgroups that tend to drive this mortality variance. And insurance played a very great role here. Commercial insurance, as you would see here, was very less among black and African Americans compared to whites, and some other race tagged along as well. And because insurance drove mortality, we expected the outcomes to be very poor in these two racial groups here. This replicates basically what insurance does here as well. Now, we use what is called the odds, mental Hansel odds ratio, to observe that by itself, again by race. And finally, we move from the stratified analysis into a logistic regression model. And in this model here, you would see the left-hand side is the crude model. And looking at whites here and looking at blacks, you would see in the left-hand side of my own model, which is the unadjusted. In fact, you can identify this by looking at the 95% confidence interval for the crude model. And because we entered the confounders into the multivariable, we then set the type 1 error at 1%, involving the 99% confidence interval. And interestingly, after adjustment for those confounders, what we did observe that the racial disparities between whites and some other race did not occur anymore. It did not persist on the basis of that confidence interval. I'd like to summarize, despite my limitations, as I'm running out of time, that in hospital mortality disparity occurs overall occurs and is driven by insurance, median income, severity of illness, and length of stay in the hospital. Acknowledging those drivers were not a single effort at others that work with us. That's the office that really approved policy that goes into this research on health disparities science. And these are the summer interns that help in the accumulation of this data, and they've done a fantastic job. This is a specific summer intern that worked full-time on this data. At this point, I'd like to take any questions. Thank you.